Well, we're on the set here at the Voice of Evangelism in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we're presenting to you a manifest telecast that goes all the way around the world. We have our Passover set here because I'm going to be doing a teaching on DVD on the mystery of the power of the blood of Jesus. So you can look for that months from now, somewhere in the future. I want to deal with a very important subject. There are weapons that can defeat the four main satanic attacks. Now, when I look at the scripture, especially when I look at the New Testament contains the four gospels, the epistles, the apocalypse, and so forth. However, if I were to say, what is the theme of the New Testament? Most people would say a revelation of the Messiah. That's primarily the main purpose of the New Testament. The second would be a revelation of New Covenant truth. I totally agree with that. But I don't know if you've ever considered what I'm about to say, but it's true that the New Testament is absolutely a strategy for living, a strategy or a 27 books that deal with life on earth and what to expect in the future. And so when we look at this, we know that when we read the New Testament, we're taught how to fast and pray. We are taught how to repent and forgive others. We're taught how to treat our friends and how you're supposed to treat your enemies. We're taught how to give and how to receive. So in the New Testament, all those things I have listed deal with practical life here on earth and also how to have life in the world to come. However, in the New Testament, there is also this great revelation of the strategies of the enemy, of the things that the adversary attempts to do in order to distract or destroy the life of an individual. Now, what I'm going to do here in the next few minutes is I'm going to talk about the four strategies of the enemy. And the first strategy, I would say, has to do with what I call the temptation zone. A zone is where the enemy is honing in on a particular thing or a particular attack. So what is the temptation zone? First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, the Bible teaches us that there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you were able, but with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Now, in that setting, it can also refer to that there is no temptation that comes to you, but that every human being on earth can be subject to that same test or temptation. Now, I was very fascinated years ago when I did a word study on the word tempt, tempted, tempting, and temptation. One of the common words, and this is interesting because in every instance in the New Testament where it deals with a testing or a temptation in which comes to a person in some form, whether it's the temptation of Jesus recorded in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, or it's a temptation that comes to you or being tempted, as the Bible says, it's the same form of a Greek word, and I have it written down here, perismos, which actually refers to something very interesting. It refers to the piercing of a vessel to see what is inside of the vessel, the piercing of a vessel to see what is inside of a vessel. For example, if you have a vessel and it has water and you pierce it, then water will come from the vessel. If the vessel had olive oil and you pierce it, then olive oil would leak from the vessel. The same would be true with grape juice, or some people call it wine in the Old Testament, fruit of the vine. Whatever is in the vessel will come out of the vessel when the piercing of the vessel takes place. So therefore, when you look at temptation, we find out in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 that Satan is called the tempter. It says, and then the tempter came. And the word tempter here means using the word there, it can mean the piercer, the one who is piercing, the one who is attempting to penetrate the armor, the one that's attempting to get inside of your heart and get inside of your spirit and find out what is actually there. And of course, in the temptation of Jesus, when I read it as a child, actually when I read it as a young minister, I always noticed that he was tempted for 40 days and nights, but it says, and at the end of the 40 days, then the tempter came. So I assumed that Jesus was not tempted at all during the 40 days, but only at the end of the temptation. And that's not true. He was actually tempted the entire 40 days. I know he was tempted to just break the fast and eat. I know he was told in his mind, this is crazy. What are you doing? You don't really need to do this if you're the Son of God. And so all these things could be a part of a temptation to pull him away from the purpose of God. So all temptation is to get you to disobey the law of the land or get you to obey the law of God, pulling you away from the truth and from the word of the Lord, getting you to fall into some type of sin. That's the ultimate purpose of any kind of what we call temptation. But I don't want you to miss the main point, and that is that temptation is for the purpose of seeing what is on the inside of you. Now, here's what's interesting. Satan can enter a person's heart. He did it with Judas, for example, when the Bible says that Satan entered Judas's heart and led him to betray Christ. But we also know this, that he may enter a person's thoughts and heart, but he does not discern the intent of the heart. God alone can discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the Word of God does that as well. When the Word of God is preached, you soon find out what is in people's hearts because they start reacting a certain way when you preach on certain subjects. So if you preach on faith and they become belligerent, they're faithless in their heart. If you preach on sin and they become angry, they have some type of sin in their heart. If you preach on the Holy Spirit and they act like they don't believe in it, and yet they say they're a Christian, the Word of God has revealed what is actually inside of them, and it is a spirit of unbelief. And that's why it's important. You know, a lot of preachers use stories. I do that as well. I think it's great because it helps especially the younger generation. People love faith-building stories, but many times ministers will spend their whole message telling stories without preaching the Word. Now, stories are great. Stories can build faith. They have mine. But I want to tell you that when the Word of God is preached, that's what reveals the thought and the intent of the heart based on how the person reacts to what the preacher is preaching. So if your preacher preaches the Word of the Lord and somebody leaves and they're negative and they're belligerent, you don't have to go any further but to know what's in their heart based on how they reacted to the truth of the Word of God that was being preached. So here's what I want to say. The outside pressure caused by temptation will eventually reveal what's on the inside of you. You know, even the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in the heart will come forth either manifest in actions or it will come forth with the Bible said, basically implies this, that out of the heart proceeds all those issues of life, where the lying, cheating, stealing, murder, adultery, etc. So what's in you comes out of you, but it is manifest through the temptation and piercing. So when you are tempted and you fall into the temptation, it reveals there was something in your heart that came out when the piercing, the temptation took place. Now, I got to go through this quickly because I'm spending too much time just on one thought. The second thing, the zone that the enemy works on, is what I call the failure zone. What is the failure zone? Well, the failure zone is Luke chapter 22, where Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. It's real interesting that the Greek word fail there is a Greek word that we get the English word eclipse from. So when Peter's faith failed, what happens during an eclipse? The light is hidden. The light is covered. The light cannot be seen during an eclipse. So Peter's faith would fail. Peter's faith would be eclipsed. In other words, something would come in Peter's life that would cause his faith to be hidden, his faith to be concealed, where his faith could not be seen. And that was very true when they asked him, did he know Jesus? And he believed in Jesus. He had faith in Jesus. He had been converted to Jesus. But he said, I don't even know who you're talking about. I do not even know the man. So he hid and covered his faith, or that Greek word, his faith failed and became eclipsed. So Jesus prayed for him that his faith would not fail, but we know that it did fail temporarily. And then Jesus had prayed for him that he would be converted or come back and the light would return to him, which happened. So the second attack failure is to try to, I should say it this way. The second attack zone is for Satan to try to get you to fail in your faith, to give up, to quit, so your faith would fail or be eclipsed and hidden and be concealed. And only, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that from Scripture. Now, the third area, I call this the hindrance zone. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul wrote that lest he should be exalted above measure, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. Now, this thorn in the flesh, if you study the Greek text, was an angel of Satan that dealt one blow after another blow. That Greek word buffet alludes to two men in a boxing ring. And when he stands up, the boxer gets clipped on the side of the face or on the side of the ear, knocks him off his balance. He gets up, he's knocked off again. He gets up, he's knocked off again. So a hindering spirit is assigned to knock you off of your assignment. Paul made a statement in the New Testament. He said, I would have come to you once, yes, twice, but Satan has hindered us. He mentions the hindering spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but he also mentions being hindered, in the sense of Satan hindering him. Now, the word hindering, Satan hath hindered us, comes from a Greek word, very interesting, it means to cut in half. So in other words, Paul was on a journey. He had a destination, point A to point B, but the assignment of the hindering spirit was to cut that in half. In other words, cut it to where he could not get to where he was going. So a hindering spirit is designed to cut into the will of God, to cut into your journey, to cut into your purpose, to cut into your plans. In other words, God, for example, has told me to do certain things in my life and ministry. There have been times that we have been greatly hindered from doing it, and we had to cut a meeting short. We had to cancel a meeting because of COVID. Something happened that cut short what we were going to do or did not enable me to walk the full journey. Now, sometimes circumstances create this. You know, there's nothing anybody could do about a virus that sweeps across the world. But there are other times it is caused by a hindering spirit, such as Paul encountered in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to remind you of something. Principalities are strong demonic spirits, but principalities work through personalities. Satan is very limited to what he can do against you unless he uses people. And what really is hard to understand is how some people who call themselves Christians follow people who are belligerent, full-faced liars, accusers, and slanderers, and yet they honor those people and follow people who purposely and willfully are trying their best to damage ministers, ministries, and the kingdom of God. But yet they give them a thumbs up and a smiley face on some kind of lying thing that they've said on YouTube or Facebook. And people are being deceived. Jesus warned that even the elect would be deceived, and deception is to pull you away from what is true. So a hindering spirit works through people, and people who try to hinder the work of God, who try to hinder the kingdom of God because they don't like somebody, are on very serious, dangerous ground in eternity, because you will be responsible for the blood of men and women who are not being reached that would have been reached had you not stepped in and become a human hindering spirit motivated by demonic power. And that should be a warning to some folks if they will listen to it. And most folks really don't. They just line themselves into that hindering spirit. Paul's hindering spirit was caused by going to cities and preaching and them arresting him and beating him and persecuting him. And he lists 22 things in 2 Corinthians 11 that he dealt with. Some of them were without, some of those were within. The fourth level of satanic attack. Let me go over these again. Temptation zone, failure zone, hindering spirit zone, and the fourth is the accusation zone. In Job chapter 1 and verse 2, Satan went before the angels of God and the throne of God and began to accuse Job, saying to God that he's only serving you because you blessed him. Take what he has, he'll curse you to your face. Now that was a satanic accusation leveled against Job. And then in the Garden of Eden, what does Satan do? He levels an attack against God. In Job, he's accusing Job in front of God, and in Eve, he's accusing God in front of Eve. What does he say to Eve? God doesn't want you eating from this tree because he knows it'll make you wiser and smarter than you are already. So now Satan works both lines. In other words, he goes to men trying to make God look bad, and he goes before God as an accuser trying to make men look bad. Revelation chapter 12 says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren before God day and night. He is a slanderer, he's a liar, he is an accuser according to the New Testament. And when anybody becomes a little Satan, a little adversary, because the Hebrew word Satan is translated in the King James Bible as adversary, but when anybody becomes a human Satan and a human adversary and aligns themselves in the kingdom of darkness to be the slanderer and accuser, they have become themselves a pawn and a tool in the hands of demonic powers. So these are the four attack levels. Now let me say this to you. Every weapon that Satan has a counter weapon in the Bible. Now, we want to share with you, I'm going to try to get this through in 5 minutes. Number one, There's the weapon of fear, the weapon of oppression, the weapon of temptation, the weapon of sickness, and the weapon of sin. Now, I need to do it. If you want me to do a deeper teaching on those five, I can do it because I'm going to run out of time here. When you deal with fear, you cannot rebuke fear necessarily and get victory. Here's how you get victory over fear. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. When you're in total fear, you do not understand the love that the Father has for you and how He loves you enough to take care of you through the good times and the bad times. So God did not give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So a sound mind is a mind that knows what God says about them and can fight off fear by saying, God loves me and God has to take care of me because I'm a child of God and I'm in covenant with Him. So love is how you handle fear, the love of God. With the oppression, everybody knows what oppression is, I believe, but there's two scriptures. Isaiah 10:27 says, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The anointing is what breaks the spirit of oppression. And many times the anointing comes through the spoken word. The anointing comes by being in a church service where the power of God is operating, by someone laying hands on you and praying for you. And sometimes oppression can be broken by music. Like King Saul was oppressed, but David played music and he was refreshed. Saul was refreshed and made well. There's different ways, but it takes the anointing. That's the tool of God to counter the weapon of oppression with the enemy. Number three, temptation. How did Jesus handle temptation? He handled it by quoting the word. Satan used the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life, and tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. It's recorded. Luke chapter 4. Three different things he said to him, but in every attack that Satan brought against the mind of Satan, Jesus quoted a scripture from the word of God to counter the attack of the enemy. So not just thinking the word, you cannot outthink the enemy, because the enemy's realm is the realm of the invisible or the atmosphere, prince of the air. You have to counter Satan by speaking the word of God. Now, and there's much more I could say about that, but let's go to number four so we can get all this in. Sickness. Now, how do we deal with sickness? Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, and of course, Peter mentions this in 2 Peter, that by Christ's stripes, you were healed. Isaiah predicts that you would be healed, but Peter says you were healed because it was already a past event. Now, I have a model of it's just a model representing Christ and the beating that he took, and you see the blood on his body. The crucifixion took care of sin and took care of the sin issue in mankind. But Jesus' stripes on his body at the whipping post, by those you are made whole. Physical wholeness, mental wholeness, emotional wholeness, what I call the threefold atoning work of Jesus Christ. So remember that it is through the name of Jesus Christ and claiming by his name, let's just say it this way. Look at how they prayed for sick people in the New Testament. They prayed in the name of Jesus. Now, they would have probably said, if they were Hebrew, the name of Yeshua. If they were preaching in a Greek congregation, they would have used his Greek name, perhaps. But nonetheless, we say the name of Jesus, which is a transliteration from the Greek to the English language. Jesus is how the Spanish people, in the nombre de Jesus, I hope I said that right. My Spanish, I don't know much Spanish. I remember that from seventh grade. And I think that's what we say, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody I know that's in our community here at church will correct me. But Yeshua, Jesus, Isos, Jesus, when you say his name and it's from your heart, the demons know the name. It doesn't matter what nation you're in or what country you're in. The final thing is sin. In Revelation 12 and 11, it says this, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So in other words, when you talk about the sin issue, the only thing, ladies and gentlemen, that can deal with sin is the blood of Jesus. Just like you see this marks on the doorpost, this replica of the doorpost of Egypt at the time of the Exodus, how they put blood. And I'm going to slide over here. There's a blood mark here. There's a blood mark there. There's a blood mark at the top. There were three marks, the top post, left post, and right post, on that door in Egypt at Passover time. Why? Because it was a picture of three crosses that would be on Golgotha's hill. But look where the main mark is, above the head of the person, above them as they pass by. And the death angel could not come in and destroy the Hebrew firstborn because of the blood that was on the doorpost that night at Passover. So here's my issue that I want to share with you. How do you deal with sin? Now, we know that we must confess our sins to God if and He is faithful and just through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you need to understand, I'm going to go back to this camera way over here to show you this replica of Jesus again. This is just a model. But Jesus Christ's blood, those nails in His hands, the nails in His feet, the piercing in His side, that blood that was shed on Golgotha's hill is the blood that redeems you and the blood that cleanses you. So you overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb. Now I want you to pay attention to this. When you talk about the love of God, you have to speak the love of God. When you talk about anointing, you command the powers of the enemy to leave. When you're tempted, you speak the word. When there is a sickness in you, you open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. When you are under sin, you overcome by the blood and the word of your testimony. I want you to notice one thing about every one of these in closing. You have to speak. You cannot battle the enemy in any of these things just with your mind. You have to speak the word, you have to rebuke, and you have to resist using your mouth. Your authority is in your mouth. And I don't want you to ever forget that. And when we do this great teaching on the blood of Jesus, it's going to be made into a DVD. And it's not available now, so please don't ask or call. We'll make it known, let you know. But it's going to go into the authority that's in the blood of Jesus. Satan hates the blood of Jesus. I love the blood of Jesus because it's what saves you, and you repent of your sins through the blood. I'll be back in a moment. Please watch this.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right, I hope you're enjoying the taping. You know, when we tape the Manifest telecast, a lot of times from the studio, I want to focus in on a very strong, powerful, informative, revelatory word. So these are not just randomly teachings where I just sit down and say, I think I'm going to say something to people. They're well planned out, well organized, and well, researched, I guess you could say. So thank you for joining me. I do want to very quickly share with you where we're coming to. This will come on the screen. Our big conference at Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky is coming July 12th. 20th through the 23rd, Thursday night, two services on Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday. And it's a Thursday through a Sunday. And then we're going back, of course, to our friends in Alaska, Trinity Christian Center, July 30th through the 3rd, hosted by Sherry Morris, and that's in Saldanha, Alaska. Now, some of you folks can drive in for that if you'd like. We'd love to have you. And then we're going to go on over to Wasilla to King's Chapel, the brand new church there. I can't wait to get to the new church where Pastor Daniel pastors, King's Chapel there, August the 6th through the 9th. Then back to Texas to our annual meeting at Family Faith Church, the Willis Campus, Friday and Saturday, August 18th and 19th. And then Huntsville, Texas on the 20th, which is all day Sunday. Then back to Christ. August is going to be busy. August the 25th to the 27th, Christ Temple in Huntington, West Virginia. And let me just say, we added also September the 10th to go to Russellville, Alabama, to Nick McSpadden's church. He's been wanting me to come for quite some time. So all you Alabama folks plan on joining me on that day as well. Let me just make mention to you that if you will go to perrystone.org, there's a lot of material that you don't see on the Manifest telecast that's brand new. The Doom of Cash and the Future Beast Monetary System. That right there is brand new. Yahweh's Prophetic Clock. Now, these are two-hour audio teachings. The outlines took weeks and weeks and weeks to put together. So these are not a television offer, but they are available on our perrystone.org website. So, and here's one called When Angels Show Up. I'm just looking over here, The Power of Praying in the Spirit. These are advertised actually through our Voice of Evangelism magazine. And so if you have not seen those, go to perrystone.org and log on for the online store. It'll be a blessing. Also, remember, we're on social media. We have our YouTube channel, which has nearly 800,000 subscribers. We have Perrystone Ministries. You've got to put that in their Facebook page. But we also want to remind you, of course, of our big camp meeting coming up, the main event. Registration has been open. Thousands of people already registered. And there's a crowd behind me at the main event. You can see the beautiful building, Omega Center International, and the people that come out and are part of this great meeting. And so we hope that you will be able to join us. And I'll tell you, the way that the things are going globally, any moment you can wake up when the sun rises and something has shifted in the world that changes everything. That's why we need to gather together more often when we can for these great events. God bless you, and we'll see you here next week.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.